If you will, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. I appreciate the invitation for being able to be here. I appreciate the hospitality of Brother and Sister Dewberry allowing us to be in their home. And I know that I don't know how y'all are, but I am a creature of routine. And when my routine gets messed up, I get messed up. You know, and I know it's been a different weekend. It's been different. It's been a different routine. You've had people in your homes. You've had all this going on and different meals and all of this. But I want to say y'all handled it greatly. You've handled it superbly. And I have felt very welcome to be here. I was excited to come to meet y'all. I say I grew up with Clarissa because I never not remember not. I don't know if that's right or not, but I don't remember not knowing her. Don't follow my English, as the other brother said. Don't do that because I will get you sidetracked terribly bad. But I don't ever remember not knowing her. And so it's good to be back with family again and to see y'all. And I appreciate the invitation and hospitality y'all have shown us. If you will, in John chapter 4, if I can find my glasses. I'm nervous again, so... Of course, I'm up here, so I'm nervous. John chapter 4, we know this chapter because the Lord, He says here in verse 4, He says, and Bible says, and He must needs go through Samaria. I want you to think about this, that the Lord said He must go through Samaria. Why? Why? Because there was a woman there. There was someone there that the Lord was going to meet. And the Lord was going to talk to her. We see here that He says the disciples went away and the woman from the well came up. Verse 6 says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied of it with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria and drew water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, we read this a lot of times and just, okay, does it mean anything to you that He's sitting on this Jacob's well? He's sitting here and this woman from Samaria comes up and He says to her, give me to drink. Does that mean anything? To us, it doesn't. Unless you've studied who the Samaritans are. The Samaritans are, they're below people, according to the Jews. They are disgraceful. You don't talk to them. You don't look at them. You hate them. You despise them. And yet, our Savior, sitting on the side of the well, asked this lady, give me to drink. You study who the Samaritans are, and what's happening here means more. This lady then said, verse 8 says, for His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? So she asked a very good question. Why are you asking me? You're not supposed to talk to me. She says, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. He introduces Himself to her. If you only knew. If you only knew who you're talking to. If you only knew, then you would not give me water, but you would ask me to bless you with the living water.
Amen.
The woman saith unto Him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Just as it was brought out with Nicodemus, he understood physical things because he was dead in his sins. This woman here is dead in her sins, and Christ says, you should ask me of living water. And her immediate thought is, the well's deep. How are you going to draw this water? How are you going to do that? You're not carrying any water. Where are you getting this water from? Verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I can just picture this, and I have a very vivid imagination. Okay, so when I read an account in the Bible, in my mind, I picture it happening. You know, and I can picture this lady listening to Christ as he says, it will be a living water and you will never thirst again. And I can picture her as she gets more intrigued and more excited about this water. And then she says to him in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. But why does she want this water? That I may thirst not. Neither come hither to draw. My work will be a lot easier with that water. My life will be easier with that water because it's... Have you ever carried a 5-gallon bucket? You ever carried one? It's a lot easier to carry two than one. It doesn't make sense, but it is. Balances you out, right? You ever had to do that? In construction, I was a plumber, and there was an apprentice that worked for us that came from the bricklayers. I thought plumbing was difficult. I thought sometimes plumbing was hard. But he was a hod carrier. He carried the mortar up ladders. You know, he worked for a company that didn't have the machines. He was the machine that did all that. And so he was like, this is easy. Carrying the fittings, carrying glue and primer, that's easy, that's nothing. This lady carried water. Water's not easy to carry. And she's wanting to make her life easier. And all of this. But you look at this. Where that verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Why does he ask? Why does he tell her this? He's witnessing to her. He's showing her. He's opening her eyes. He's drawing her to him. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and the woman and whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that thou saidest, thou truly, the woman. And I can picture her again as she's listening to him say this, her mouth drop open, and she's amazed. How do you know me? It was when I first went to 12 Ryan, the first time we were there, my whole family, we didn't know them, never met them before. I walked in that Sunday morning, and I don't know if you know Sister Sinek, Sister Nancy Sinek, but she's a member there. She walked up to me, and she said, I know your mom and dad, and I know you. And I said, who are you? I didn't know her. Then she told me her name. I'm thinking about that because this lady here, Christ knows details about her. Amen. Amen. Intimate details about her life. And she says, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You're more than just a mere man. You have insights. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You look at how she responds to this. And this is the point to this message. And upon this, verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, well, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? But look at what the woman did in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And I'm going to stop reading there because what I want to focus on this morning is that the woman left her water pot. We read this and we think, okay, so she came to draw water and she left the water pot. But you think about what the water pot was used for. You think about the necessities that we have of water. She left her water pot. I want you to look at some. Keep your place here in John, but turn, if you will, to John chapter 2. What I find in my studies is that it's good for me to look up all the words in a verse. When you're studying a verse, look up all the words. And then I found you can read the definition, but sometimes definitions don't help a whole lot. My family and I do devotions of a morning, and we were reading through Proverbs, reading a chapter in Proverbs, and one of the boys said, what does this word mean? And I didn't know what it meant, so I looked up the definition. You know what the definition was? The word. How does that help me? So what I found in my studies is not only do I look up the definition of the word, but I look up every place in the Bible that word is used. Because then, and how it's translated, other words it's used as. So you go and you read all those places. So when I look at this, that the woman left her water pot, where else is that word water pot used? So here in John chapter 2, let's see. Let's just start in verse 1. And the third day was And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. Now I'm going to stop there. Well, go and read verse 8. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor the feast. And they bear it. That's the 2 other places in the Bible that the word water pot is used. Okay. Now I didn't look up. I'm not following that word. I just wanted to follow the water pot here. Because this shows what the water pots are used for. Not only is she drawing water to drink, but she's also drawing water for purifying. Because you think back on the scriptures when, what was the one thing the scribes and Pharisees had about the disciples, the apostles? What are they doing eating? Unpurified. Washing of the hands. What did this woman leave behind? Her ways of purifying. She left her necessities of this world behind. She left the way of drinking, of providing for her necessities behind. She left the way of purifying her physical body behind. She left everything. Because now what does she have? She had Christ.
Amen.
She didn't need these worldly ways of purifying anymore. She didn't need them. And I ask you again, these messages that you've heard this weekend, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to still carry your water pot? Because we all have a water pot. We all have a way that we make things better. We all have a way that we deal with situations. We all have that. And a lot of times our ways of dealing with these things are not the Lord. A lot of these things we deal with are ways that we've got of our own. Are we willing to leave those things behind? I'm talking to those that are saved and those that are lost. You here today that are lost, are you willing to leave your way of working for salvation behind? I know what that is. I get it. I prayed every prayer there was to pray to be saved. And did you know what those prayers did for me? Nothing. People would show up at church, preachers would show up and they would give their testimony in their message. And I prayed and I said this and the Lord saved me. And I would go home that night and I would pray that exact same prayer. Do you know why it didn't work for me? Because prayer doesn't save. Prayer does not save. Now you still pray and ask the Lord to save you. But you don't trust in your praying. You're praying. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. You look at this, that Christ, God the Father, it says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world, that what did He do? He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, and I'm getting it mixed up now, but shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at that. God so loved the world. It started with God's love for you. That God sent His Son, and Jesus Christ came and died on a cross. And what was it that Christ told the apostles? It is, I can't think of the word now, but it's good. It's needful that I leave. Because if I leave, the Comforter will come. The Holy Spirit will come. And you look at this, what is the Holy Spirit's responsibility? What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit draws you. If you're here today and you're convicted of your lost condition, that is because the Holy Spirit is drawing you. The Holy Spirit is showing you your lost condition. You look at all the work that God did in all of this. God loved you, therefore He sent His Son to die on the cross. And therefore He rose Him from the dead. Raised Him from the dead. Without the resurrection, Paul says, we are of all men most miserable.
Amen.
Death has been conquered. Amen. All of your sins have been paid for. Look at that. The Holy Spirit draws you to the truth of the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to leave your water pot? Are you willing to leave everything you're trusting in? Are you willing to leave everything you're holding on to? To just believe. Christ came preaching. In Mark chapter 1 it says Jesus Christ came preaching after John was put in prison. Repent and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just repent and believe. Turn to Jesus Christ. This woman left her water pot. Everything that she used in this world, she left it. There was a night that come that, I don't know how else to say it, but there was no prayer for me to pray. There was nothing for me to trust in me, and all of that. It was simply, Lord, if You're going to save me, You're going to have to do it. And you know what He did? He saved me that night. You know how long I've been saved? Ever since then. I'm not going to try and add it up. I was saved when I was 16 years old. I'm 50 years old now, so you can do the math. I've learned don't do math in front of people because I do it wrong. So this lady here left her water pot behind. I want you to look at another man. Look in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 50. We're going to start reading here in verse 46, Mark 10, verse 46. I didn't tell you the title of the message today. I was struggling with, do I read the verse that the title comes from first or last? The title of the message today is, Are You Given Over to the Lord? Because the woman at the well, she was given over to the Lord in that she left her water pot. To us, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But that's what they used to survive, to live, for purifying, to cleaning themselves. All of that. She left all of that. She was given over completely to the Lord. Here, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho. And as they went through Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out." Have you heard about Jesus Christ this weekend? What do you do if you've heard about Jesus Christ this weekend? Cry out. Call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blind Bartimaeus here said he couldn't see, but he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me."
Amen.
But look at what the world says. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Hey. Look, be quiet. You're disturbing others. Do you think anyone here, let's just say, hypothetically, let's just say, I'm preaching away here and the Lord saves someone. And let's say they stand up and they say, "The Lord just saved me." Who here is going to tell them to sit down and be quiet? I'm not. I don't think anybody here would. I hope nobody here would.
Amen.
I would hope that we would begin to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Have we been praying that the Holy Spirit move in the services?
Amen.
We need to be.
Amen.
We need to be. This man was crying out. Blind Bartimaeus was crying out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Those around him were saying, "Hold thy peace." It says they charged him that thou should hold that he should hold his peace. But what did he do? He cried out the more, a great deal. Someone came up to me when I was lost and said, "You need to pray and ask the Lord to save you." And I was in one of my aggravated moods at the time because it was after church. I had prayed and he hadn't. And I was flustered and frustrated and lost and undone and no answer, no way out. And so I smarted off to them and I said, "I have and he hasn't." And I think about blind Bartimaeus. What did he do? He did what that man told me to do. He said, "We'll keep praying." If you're here today and you're lost and you have prayed and asked the Lord to save you and He hasn't, you keep seeking Him. You keep calling out. And do it like blind Bartimaeus. It says here that he cried out the more, a great deal more. Not just a little bit, but more. "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And then look at verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Jesus stopped and commanded him to be called. And those same ones that said, "You need to be quiet." And they call the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Look at verse 50. It says, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." We read this, and what we think about this, what I thought about this for years, is that he just got up and threw off his jacket and came running. Came to Jesus Christ. But you study the culture. What did he throw off? He threw off his status. He threw off his what told everybody who he was, what he was, what family he was with, his status in culture. He threw all of this off. Everything that ties him to this world, he threw off and came to the Lord. If you're here today and you're lost, are you willing to throw everything that ties you to this world off and come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to let go? But I also ask you here today that are saved, you've heard all these messages. Are you willing to throw off all that ties you to this world and come to Christ? So I'm already saved. Yes, you are. But are you living for Him?
Right.
The title of the message is, are you given over to the Lord?
Amen.
Are you? We hear the messages and we go home, and I like the way the brother put it. What are we thinking of by the time we get to our cars? It's so many times that we, as a pastor, you study. You know, you study and you study and you study all week long. And sometimes you study for months before you ever preach the message. And then you preach it. You pour your heart out. And you want people to get it and to understand and to see it. You want to see souls moved. Not for you, but because you want to see the Lord working in that. And then services are dismissed and you walk back to the back and you hear people talking about all kinds of things. Nobody's talking about the message. Nobody's talking about spiritual things. I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes that's just, it's disheartening. It hurts. You know? We don't even have to leave the building before we have already. They said amen and we put it down. Are you willing not to? Throw all that stuff off. Throw your garments off that tie you to this world.
Amen.
This man, look, he threw these off in verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto me? Do unto thee." And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
Amen.
Look, he didn't go away. He threw his garments off that tied into this world. And what did he do? He stayed with the Lord.
Amen.
He followed him. Look, you've heard these messages. You've heard the preaching. You've heard these men pour their heart out. What are you going to do now? Now what? We pray when we have these conferences, and I imagine that you've prayed that the Lord work in these messages. Did you pray that the Lord give us, the men that came to preach, the message that He has for you?
Amen.
Then these messages have been for you.
Amen.
What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do? We need to be changed. There's a song that I like. I really like this song. I don't sing. I like to sing, but I don't know how. So I don't know tune and all that stuff. But the name of the song is "I'm Tired of Being Stirred, But Not Changed." And it is a beautiful, beautiful song about coming to church. And we've heard the message so many times that it's just another story. And we're drawn to tears. But then the tears go away and we go about our day. The second verse is, "I'm tired of being stirred, but not being changed." And the final verse is just, "Lord, change me." But what we're afraid of is how that song words it. "Rearrange my life." Am I the only one that scares? So I mentioned to you, I'm a creature of routine. To have my life rearranged scares the living daylights out of me. It does. But am I willing to throw off my garments? Am I willing to leave my water pot behind? Because the Lord has more for me than my routine ever could give me? Are we willing? What are we going to do with these messages? And I'm not just asking you, I'm asking me too. What are we going to do with them?
Amen.
The brother read in Luke 16 that rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen. And you can look in the Bible and you can see that our raiment, the raiment in the Bible showed our status, showed who we were, how well off we were. Are you willing to throw all that away? Look in 2 Corinthians. This is the verse that the thought came from. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. Here Paul is trying to tell the church at Corinth that they need to be willing to give. be willing to help others, to contribute. Starting in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do ye wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy, and they and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." You read this and you study this, that they were going through poverty, they were going through hardships, the churches of Macedonia, but yet they still gave. They gave in abundance. They gave so much, it says in verse 4, "...praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Paul says they gave so much that I didn't know if I needed to take it. But they gave and said, "Please take it." But look at this in verse 5. "And as they did, not as we hoped, but look, but first gave their own selves to the Lord."
Amen.
"And unto us by the will of God." Before you can be changed, before you can live a different life, before you can have these messages really soak in and change your life, you know what you need to do first? Same thing the churches of Macedonia give. You need to give yourself wholly to the Lord.
Amen.
Give yourself. Do you want this church to be more of a lighthouse in the community here than what it already is? How does that happen? Let me tell you how it happens. It's not a secret. How it doesn't happen is somebody else giving themselves to the Lord.
Right.
Your attitude can't be, when I asked if you're willing to give yourself to the Lord, did you think of somebody else that needs to? You know, I heard a little joke thing one time that there was Slap Your Annoying Coworker Day. It was on the radio one day going to work. It said, "Hey, Slap Your Annoying Coworker Day." And he said, "And if you're sitting there thinking, we don't have any annoying coworkers, you might want to call in sick. Because you probably are the annoying coworker." You know, if you're thinking somebody else needs this, what I've learned in my life, when I think of somebody else, it's normally probably really me that needs it.
Amen.
You want this church to grow? Then you yourself need to give yourself wholly to the Lord. Don't think, "I've already given all I can give." I guarantee you haven't. I guarantee you none of us have given all that we can give.
Amen.
I want to show you, and lastly, what happens when we don't give ourselves wholly to the Lord. Look, if you will, in Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, and we're going to start reading in verse 20. Luke 17 and verse 20. It says here, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo, here, and or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said to his disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. As the lightning that lighteth out of one part unto heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and then destroyed them all. Likewise also was it in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out from of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and has stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Now look at this. Verse 32. This is a warning to us. A little bitty verse. Three words. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Do you remember Lot's wife? Lot's wife is not talked about very much. We talk about Lot all the time. But what about Lot's wife? Why does Christ tell these to remember Lot's wife? Was she wholly given over to the Lord? No, she was not. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Peter that he brought out just Lot. And we know that word just doesn't mean only, but it means righteous. That is the verse that we know Lot was a saved man. It's the only way we know it. Amen. His life didn't show it. Lot was not wholly given over to the Lord. What was the one commandment the angels gave Lot and his family when they took him out? They took him out. They brought got him by the hand and drugged them out and told them, do not look back. If you look back, you were turned into a pillar of salt. She was not wholly given over to the world. She was not willing to throw off her garments and follow the Lord. She wasn't willing to leave her water pot behind and follow the Lord. But where was her heart? The things of this world. She lost everything. I tell you, are you willing to give up all the things of this world? You think about, what are you holding on to? All the things in this world. I mean, new cars are nice, aren't they? They smell good. They're clean. They drive. They're tight. You know, they're just nice. But what happens after a little while? My first brand new vehicle I bought was a 2003 Ford F-150. First brand new vehicle. I was driving it back and forth to work, and one of the guys was riding with me, and he quit riding with me because he said, I don't want to be the first guy to put a dent in that truck. I don't want to do it. And then I got worried about it. How am I going to react to the first dent? Well, Lord took care of that. I was at work one day, and a hailstorm come through. The Lord put the first dent in it. He put a lot of dents in it. I couldn't complain. You know, but things that are brand new are nice, but they wear out. They fall apart. And that's all the things of this world. That's what we're holding on to in this world. Things that will decay, that will rust, that will be stolen. Matthew chapter 5 tells us, lay up in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, and nor does anything rust and corrupt. And it also says, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Where is our heart? What are you going to do with these messages that's been preached this weekend? Don't let them go. Don't. That's the worst thing we could do, is just let them go. Because we need our life to be rearranged. We need our life to be made different. We need our outlook different. As Brother Jim talked, and it was a great opening to this, that we need to be converted. And I don't believe that's salvation either. I think it's Peter wholeheartedly following the Lord. Are you wholly given over to the Lord? You think about the messages that have been preached. What are you going to do with them? Are you going to be like Lot's wife and hold on to the things of this world? Are you going to be like the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that left her water pot? Are you going to be like blind Bartimaeus who threw off his garments and ran to Christ? Who are you going to be like? You're going to be like one of them. You're going to be. I pray and I hope that we all would leave our water pots behind and that we would throw off our garment, all the ties to this world, and just seek the Lord. If you're here today and you're lost, leave all those works behind. You think about Matthew chapter 7, the end of that, that not all that say unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven. And there's those that will say, but look at what we've done. We've cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. But not once did they mention that Christ died for them.
Right. Amen.
That's where salvation is at. It's in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're lost, repent and believe the gospel. Thank you, Brother Jim.